How are you guys doing? Great to be here. I was told we don't have a wireless mic anymore, and I have to stand in the same spot. I cannot be moving around. And if you know me, you know that that's torture. I did not sign up for this. When he asked me to speak last week, there was no mention at all of no wireless mic. The fine print, exactly. Even at church, you have to be careful. It's great to be here. Why don't we, if you can, only if you can, let's stand up and just read the Word of God. If you can't, it's completely okay. So we're just going to read a couple of verses, which makes it a very short message. It's Psalm 18. And most of our message is going to be about the header of the message, of the Psalm, and verse 1. And two. Psalm 18, for the director of music, of David, the servant of the Lord. He sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. Please have a seat. This is the word of the Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. We bless your name this morning, Lord, as we just heard, Lord. We bless your holy name. We thank you because you are here. We thank you because we don't deserve to be here, but you called us to be here, just as you called us your children, just as you died on the cross for us, just as you rose and became first of so many. We thank you this morning, Lord Jesus, because you have a word for us. We thank you this morning, Lord, because it's not about me, it's not about what I have, but it's about you and your goodness and your mercy that you want to shower us with today. Lord, I pray that you would speak to my heart, speak to everyone's heart today. I pray in Jesus' name that every word that would be spoken today would be coming from heaven. Bring heaven into this room right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever watched a movie or seen it live? I know I have, where someone is in the middle of a circle being attacked from so many directions, being jumped by so many people, and you feel bad for that person, right? Again, and I'm 100% sure we've seen this in movies, and I'm pretty sure as well that a lot of us seen it live. And you feel like that person is helpless. That person has no power because it's not a one-on-one type of thing, not even one-on-two, but the attacks are coming from every direction. You can be looking at someone in the face and you're protecting yourself, but then someone from behind you is hitting you. Someone from the side is hitting you. Been in this situation before? Don't raise your hand. I have been in this situation before, and it's not pretty and it's not great because you feel like it's not fair. You feel like you are powerless, you have no strength, and there is nothing that you can do. There is no words that you can say. And there is nothing, no one is helping you. You're just 1 on 5 or 1 on 10. And it's so unfair, but that's how life feels sometimes. And David was no stranger to that feeling. David is a man who were attacked, who was in that middle of that circle of beat down many times of his life. You know, and luckily that the word of God gives us that, because I can point and tell you the testimony of David instead of telling you my own testimony, my own experience. We can go to the word of God and say, look, someone just like you and me went through that circle of, I call it the circle of beat down. And you know, it happens. It happens over and over. We've had seasons. You've had seasons. I know for sure you had seasons in your life where you felt like you're in that middle of that circle of the beat down. And it's coming from every direction. I read that verse, especially the header, many times before. And I thought to myself, when will I be able to sing that song? When will I be able to sing the song, you know, and it's going to go like this, you know, it's a song of our psalm. When, you know, he sang these words, when the Lord delivered him from all of his enemies, you know, but then I look around and you find yourself, you're in the middle of the circle still. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. I'm being just me, by the way, and I hope you already know this. When I speak my heart. So there is nothing about me. I'm not a great teacher. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not any of that. Not politically correct for sure, but I just speak what's on my heart. And whatever the Lord gives me, I am sharing with you today. So I feel like I want to sing this song so bad. I want to sing the song that says, when the Lord delivered him from all of his enemies, when the Lord delivered him from that circle of beat down, when, and I'm like, it's not happening. I mean, you have a good season, you have an easy season, easy, and then you're right back at it again, and you feel like the beat down is coming back again and again and again. And it's not just me, it's you as well. You know, you're in that middle of the circle, and finances are punching you in the face. And then, you know, family drama are giving you an uppercut, and someone else from the back giving you something else that you don't even know or realize that this has even existed, but this news is coming, children not behaving, all of it. And you're just standing there, not able to do anything but take it. David went through this, and today he's praising. And by the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I will never sit one moment in that place again. And instead, we're going to rise and we're going to throw punches that we've never thrown punches before. That we're going to get up today, and instead of being in that middle of the circle of beat down, we're going to actually control that circle from now on. We're going to throw some punches, we're going to land some punches, and we're going to not have the trauma of those seasons anymore. You know, because the secret, and I'm like, how did David do it? How did so-and-so do it? How did this person do it? The secret is actually in the song. I am trying to think, what did David do? What did he do that I'm not doing? What did he do that my brothers and sisters who are going through hard times didn't do? I know a lot of faithful people, so faithful to the word of God, so faithful to the ministry, so faithful with their finances, with their relationships, with everything, but they fall in the middle of that circle over and over again. And my heart is broken for me, for my family, for them, for you. My heart is broken for every believer, for everyone who's been in that place and who's going through that place. And I kept thinking, what is happening? See, David found himself in that place, found himself in the middle of battles he didn't ask for, found himself in the middle of battles he wasn't prepared for. Found himself in the middle of battles that there is no one else helping him. Matter of fact, the closest people to him are the ones that are punching him. Ever been there? See, there is something here I want you to note before we even get started. It says, he sang this song, the words of this song, when the Lord delivered him from the hands of all of his enemies. Stop. And then from the hands of Saul. Even after everything that Saul did to him, he did not consider him one of the enemies. He's an attacker. He's someone who attacked him. He's someone who was in that circle, you know, giving him the beat down with everyone else. But David still found the kindness, found the Spirit of God, because he's a man after God's heart. He knew that Saul is not an enemy, even if Saul considered David an enemy. He had the enemies. The Philistines were enemy. The Ammonites were enemies. The Amorites, all of the Amites, you know, those things around them, those were the enemies. Because God's made it clear that those are the enemies. But Saul, to David, still not an enemy. Even, again, in the middle of a circle of a beat down. Does that remind you of someone else? Does that remind you of our Lord and Savior when he was on the cross getting a beat down as well? What does he say? Forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. You know, so in the middle of the first thing that we want to look at today, that we're in the middle, when we're in the middle of the circle of beat down, let's try to remember that a lot of people around us, even if they are throwing punches, they're still not our enemies. They're still not our enemies. Because our war is not against flesh and blood. Our war, I want to make that clear, because as I say this, you're probably thinking of people throwing punches at you, because I know I was there. I know I was thinking of people, you know. I know I was thinking of individuals who wronged me. I know that I was thinking of individuals who, you know, the enemy used in a way or another to attack me. But let's get this straight. The enemy is the enemy, and the people are not the enemy. Okay? So we have to get that part, you know, straight before we even get to our message today. It's a victory song. So today what I'm sharing with you, I know when we started, it sounded a little bit depressing and a little bit sad. That's fine. But today we are actually singing a song. And by the time you leave, you'll be singing that song, and you will be singing that song even if you're in the middle of a circle of beat down. Have you ever felt that way? Do you know someone who is going through this right now? This message is for you, and this message is definitely for me. Who were the enemies at the time of David? The Philistines were his enemies. All the surrounding nations were his enemies. Even nature sometimes that are throwing lions and bears at him, just like they're throwing lions and bears at us as well. There are so many enemies, but for you and I, we know that we have three enemies that are always attacking us. We have the flesh, we have the world, and we have Satan himself trying to wage war against us. David himself speaks later in that same chapter. He says these words, "The strivings of people and being made head of nations," which reflects the militaries that are coming against them. There are so many people wanted to take his life. So many things and so many people wanted to end his life. But we see that at the end, God prevails. He's getting attacked from Saul. He's getting attacked from wilderness, as I said. He's getting attacked from politicians, from foreign nations. Everyone is attacking this man. And if you look closely at your life, and if I look closely at my life, a lot of times we see that we're being attacked. We're being hit from every direction. Why aren't my finances the way I expected it? That's a punch. Why aren't my relationships as nice as I wanted them to be? That's a punch. Why aren't the kids or the family or my health behaving? My body is not behaving the way I wanted. That's a punch. So many things, even again, from the closest people. Saul was supposed to be David's shepherd. Saul was supposed to be David's protector. Saul was supposed to be someone who cared for David because that was his job as a king of Israel. But the person that you expected protection, blessing, provision, and love from is the very person that's attacking you at that moment. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever seen that? We all have. You're in the middle of the circle of beat down, but not after today. Today we're going to end that circle in Jesus' name. Not because of what I'm sharing with you, not because I'm good. I can barely put two English words together, but because of the Holy Spirit who's in this place. The Holy Spirit that wants to end your pain and wants to end my pain. The Holy Spirit who wants to leave, who want us to leave this place victorious, who want us to leave this place changed, who want us to leave this place with the truth. Amen? So, as I said, the secret is not too far. The secret is in this verse. If you look at those verses, the first thing it says, "I love you, Lord, my strength." So David, you're in the middle of a circle of beat down right now. All the forces that are coming against you are way more than you can handle. Everything that you are going through right now is a lot stronger than you can handle. A lot more powerful than you can handle. And we're going to do a little bit of studying today, because a lot of these words to you and to me might sound very close. Like when you hear "my fortress," my refuge, my shield, my stronghold. All these four might sound very similar, but I'm going to read you the definition in the words in Hebrew and the definition, because you will know that these are actually completely different. And when you gather all of them together, you will see why you can sing in the middle of circle of beat down. You can sing and you can find strength that even if all the armies, and that's what David said one time, even if all the armies are coming against me, I will have no fear. Do you know why? Because of the first word in that. He makes God's strength his own strength. He makes God's ability his own ability. He makes God's power his own power. I love you, Lord, my strength. This isn't about avoiding battles. We're not going to tell you today, I'm not telling you that after you leave church, you're not going to have battles and wars and you're not going to have that circle of beat down anymore. That is not true. It's going to be about having the strength to overcome every circle of beat down you will ever face in your life again. That after today, even if you see the armies of all darkness coming against you, you're going to sing, and you're going to sing these words and the words that David sang here or any other psalm. We're going to learn today not to avoid the battles, but to overcome every single battle that comes our way. Because I'm tired of defeat, and I know you are. I'm tired of not sleeping at night, and I know you are. I'm tired of being, you know, feeling like just a couple of people coming against me and I'm like freaking out. But David overcame armies and armies. I love you, Lord, my strength. And this, the word here in Hebrew, and I do not have my reading glasses. I have my regular glasses, which was a mistake. The word strength here emphasizes empowerment. That I am going to give you the strength to face whatever is coming against you. So the actual word in Hebrew is hazakai, okay? And it's a word that means to be strong and to be firm and to be courageous. That is the actual verb that this word comes from, that you're going to be strong, you're going to be firm, you're going to be courageous, and you are going to be empowered against anything that comes against you. Can I get an amen for that one? Because when you are 1 versus 10, you feel what? You feel weak. When you are one, I know I can't move. When you are one against hundreds of thousands of armies and soldiers coming against you, what do you feel? You feel weak. You feel like they have the upper hand. You feel like you don't have enough strength to power them. But in this, David makes God's strength his own. God's strength his own. When God tells Gideon, you go and you fight this war. You go with the strength you have. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of soldiers. How am I going to do this? It's not about the soldiers. It's not about you. It's about me in you. When you go to Moses and you tell him, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. It's not about your voice. It's not about what Moses has. It's about the strength that God gives. When God says, strike that sea. It's not about, Moses didn't have like a nuclear staff or something that splits the sea. It's about the Lord who knows how to split the sea. When you tell that wind or to that storm, stop and do not move. Who is this about? It's about God and his voice and his ability to shut the sea down. See, that strength is what David carried with him in every battle he went to. Do you know why you and I are on the ground getting kicked and beat down? Because we don't have the strength of the Lord. Because we don't make his strength our strength. Because I'm trying to fight 10 people on my own. I'm trying to fight, you know, 5 people on my own. I'm trying to fight my circumstances on my own. I'm trying to fight every battle, big and small, on my own, thinking I got this. And I don't got nothing. I don't have it. Peter, the amazing, wonderful disciple, he cracked against a servant girl that came and asked him, are you with Jesus? And he denied Jesus. Because on his strength, in his own strength, a couple of hours before, he thought he could fight and he could go even to the cross with Jesus. So the word here for strength means to be strong, to be firm, to be courageous, to receive the power that God has for him. This is not just about physical power, but the power that enables someone to stand firm and prevail and endure. As a shepherd, if I'm David right now, as a shepherd, as a fugitive, as a warrior, as a king, I needed power in my life. For you and I, as a father, as a husband, as an employee, as a neighbor, as a son, as a daughter, as everything, as a preacher, everything, we need power from God to help us achieve the things that he has for us. If you try to do it on your own, I guarantee you're going to be on that ground getting kicked. But if you receive that power from him, things are going to be different. David looks at Goliath and he goes, "You come to me with everything you have. You have the sword, you have the spear, you have the javelin. And here's what I have. I have the name of the Lord. That's all I have. That's all I need. You can bring hundreds and thousands out like Goliath. You can bring every Goliath that's in the book. You can bring him here. You can bring all the weapons that you have. If I have the strength of the Lord, here is my advice to you and to myself today. My strength. Make him your strength. Make him my strength. And watch how the next battle is going to go." Amen. The power wasn't in David. The power wasn't in Joshua. The power wasn't in the voices and walking around Jericho. Wait, is it Jericho or Jericho? Jericho's walls. The power wasn't in any of these things. The power was in God himself. I know you got walls that you have to bring down. I know you got mountains you have to climb. I know you have relationships you have to heal. I know you have finances you have to reconcile. I know you have a body that is broken. I know all of it. This time is going to be a little bit different. Because we're going to do this with the strength of the Lord. Amen? Amen. God wasn't just his helper. God was his strength. God is not a spare tire that when you need him, you pick him up. God should be the engine, the electrical, the dashboard, the steering wheel, everything that moves you, that empowers you. But a lot of times we deal with God as the spare tire. When I have an issue, if I'm overcome, if I have a problem, then I'm going to call on God. And that's where the problem starts. And in the New Testament, we see Paul, he is going through famines, he's going through imprisonment, he's going through beating, he's going through good times when he's preaching and people are listening. He's going through a lot of things. And then we see him in Philippians 4:13, as we see it on every car sticker and all of that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The same word, strengthen me, is the same word that David is using here. How is that possible? Because God gives his strength for those who rely on him, for those who seek him, for those who depend on him. So that's the first thing that we're going to do in our new battle. We're going to make God our strength. The second thing he calls him, the Lord is my rock. And there are two words for the word rock that I'm going to read to you. One of them emphasizes security, and the other one emphasizes on stability. Okay? So when I say that the Lord is my rock, when David is saying that the Lord is his rock, it means that I am secure, that no one can reach me, and I am stable, I cannot be shaken. The first word is Selah. That means it's a very high and fortified mountain or hill that no one can reach. That I am in this very safe place that no one can reach the top of it. It means in Hebrew, again, it means Selah. And it's a large, large cliff. And it gives you that security that even if these people want to go up and climb that cliff, there is no way they can reach you. There is no way they can get to you. So when David is going into a battle, when David is singing about God, when he is singing about God delivering him, as you and I will be singing about God who will deliver us, I know I am in a very secure and high place that no one can reach. He is the one that told the sea, to this place, this far, you can come and not cross any longer. We go walk by the water almost every night. You know, and one of the things that really, really get to me is how limited this huge, huge, huge body of water is. You know, it has a limit. It cannot exceed that limit. David knew he is so secure because God is his rock, that no matter how large the enemy, no matter how experienced the enemy, no matter how big the massive the armies that are coming against him, he knows that he is in a place that's never been defeated before. Was anyone ever able to defeat God before? And David is in that place. You and I should be in that place. Does that mean we're not going to be in battles? Oh no, we're going to be in battles. But there is a limit to that battle. There is protection over you and over my life. And whatever God is allowing, he's allowing it for your good and my good. The second meaning of rock is Sir. Like Big Sur. You guys been to Big Sur? S-U-R. So big, Sur. This emphasizes stability and permanence. This is when you are standing on solid ground. And this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, blesses the man who builds his house on the rock, on a solid ground. So when you are standing to fight, or when you are standing in this life, you're standing on a stable place. You're not standing on the shaky sand that actually lets you sink. You're not standing in a place where you're not sure if it will carry your weight or not, if it will change or not. He is standing on a very, very stable place. So when you are going into battle, knowing the Lord is your rock, knowing that you are surrounded and secured by a place that was never, ever defeated before, knowing that you are standing on a solid ground, that should give you the confidence. The enemy has a limit. The enemy cannot break the place you're in. And you're standing in the right place. And you're standing on the rock. When we see David's life, when he was running away, whether from the foreign enemies or from Saul himself, we see him hide actually in these rocks. So when David, by the way, when David is singing this song, these are not just words that he's saying. These are experiencing he is reliving. So when he is saying, the Lord is my strength, he knows that his own strength as a 17-year-old, you know, 5'4", 5'5", has nothing compared to a 10-foot giant with probably 400 or 500 pounds of muscle. So he had to have much stronger body to defeat that giant that's across from him. When he's being attacked by a lion, who is stronger, a man, a 17-year-old or a 15-year-old, or a lion? Who is stronger, a bear or a 16-year-old, you know, teenager? So he knows this is not just poem. This is an actual experience that he's sharing with you and sharing with me. And I bet you anything, if I ask you, have you ever had a situation in your life where you feel like, I am completely done? There's not an ounce of strength in me anymore. And then something happens where you overcome that situation. Think of your life. Think of the things that you had. Guess what? That was the strength of God. When you are surrounded by every enemy, by every problem, and then for some reason, you came out of it. You know why? Because you were in the rock. Because your feet were standing on a stable ground. You're still breathing? You survived. I'm still breathing? I survived. I survived. And you survived too. Because we were in the rock. It just, the enemy is so good at making us forget the things that we've been through. The experiences we had, the miracles, every breath that we're taking, every breath that we took, every time, It was so close. Have you ever had those moments when you're driving and you're like, it was so close? You've had those moments? I know I have, especially when Dina's driving. Just kidding. Actually, especially when Tesla's driving. So when you had those moments and you were delivered and you came out of it, because you were on the rock, you just didn't realize it. Because you were on stable ground, you didn't realize it. So David is thinking about one of the cliffs. There's a cave called the Cave of Adullam. I'm not going to go into the stories, because if I go into every story, we'll probably be here all day. But it was so close. Actually, Saul and his armies were in the same cave or right next to him, and they didn't see him. So when he's talking about God being his rock, he is remembering that he was protected in the rock that no one can defeat, no one can bring down. When you and I start, and this is why it's important to remember your testimonies, it's very important to share your testimonies. We need to hear it. Because we hear enough negativities, we hear enough about the pain, we hear enough about laying down in the circle of pain or the circle of beat down. We don't share a lot of the victories and the testimonies of the things that God does with us. In the wilderness of Ain Jedi, this is a place where he took refuge. In so many places where this man was so close to losing his life, and God came and delivered him at the last second. Those physical rocks became a picture of the greater reality. God himself was the cliff, and God himself was that bedrock protecting him. In your story and in my story, it's not about the police that came at the last minute. It's not about the doctor. It's not about this. It's about God was actually there for you and was there for me. Yes, thankful for the doctors, thankful for the ambulance, thankful for whoever called 911, thankful for all of these things. But at the end of the day, it was God. It was God. You know, sharing the story with someone, how I got a knife was supposed to be in my neck. This thing that looked like a screwdriver, but with a pointy. And the person who stabbed me with it, he was actually going for my neck. And it missed me by just a couple of centimeters. And it went all the way right here. And the doctor wouldn't even take me because they didn't want to get any trouble. And, you know, was this the person just missed by accident? Absolutely. It was the hand of God. And I wasn't even a child of God. I wasn't following the Lord. I wasn't any of that. I didn't even tell my family about it, because what am I going to tell them? What am I going to tell them where I was? I didn't want to share where I was. I didn't want to share anything about it. But that was the hand of God. Every time you went to a place, every time where you felt like that was close, that was the hand of God protecting you. That was that tower of protection that God has over you. In our spiritual warfare, stability matters. You need a stable place. In our spiritual warfare, protection matters. And in Christ as our rock, we have unshakable truth that he loves us. We have unshakable truth that he died on the cross for us. We have unshakable truth that he rose from the dead. We have unshakable truth that he is ready to change our lives, and he's calling us his children. We have unshakable truth that nothing comes our way that he cannot handle. As Christ, our rock, we have the stability even we're under pressure, because we're standing on the rock. I'm not saying that pressure is not going to come. I'm not saying that fights are not going to come, but I'm saying that you're going to be on stable ground. David hid in physical rocks. Believers, you and I today can hide in Jesus. When you and I are going through it, or before we go through it, we should know where our rock is. And then he calls him my fortress. The word fortress in Hebrew is mesodati, okay? It comes from the verb hunt or capture. It comes from the verb to hunt or to capture. So when Saul, when all the enemies, when everything is coming to hunt and capture David, when the enemy is coming to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the enemy does, right? When we call on our God, and remember, do you see how David is making this personal? My rock, my strength, my fortress. So here's the truth. The truth is, there is an enemy that is out there to hunt and to capture. But we also have a God that we can call our fortress. This is when you have a strategic protection for your life and for the plans that God has for you. Let me say that again. This is when you have a strategic protection. There is a plan for your life. There is a plan for your success. There is a plan for your prosperity. There is a plan for your protection. There is a plan for your discipline. There is a plan for your growth. And the enemy is coming after all these plans one by one to hunt and to capture. But thank God that we can call him today our protection. Think of an exit sign. That's right. There are two in front of me, and I'm sure there's something here. Think of every earthquake training you had, you know, at school. I mean, I'm sure here. They tell you where to go. They tell you, here is the plan. This is what you're going to do. This is where you're going to go. Think of the things that are the plans that are put together for you to be safe. David is calling God that plan, the plan of protection, the plan of safety, the plan that when things go wrong, I know where to run. I know who to call onto. I am trained, I have been trained to go to him. So in these situations, and for example, in 1 Samuel 23, David stayed in the wilderness in these strongholds of the hills day after day after day because Saul was going around and around, searching for who? Searching for David, trying to end his life. So David knew that there is a plan out there against him. And if you think for a second that the enemy is not using every second of this life to not get you, you're wrong today. If you think that the enemy is making a treaty of peace with you, you're absolutely wrong today. If you think that the enemy is taking a day off so you can enjoy the Super Bowl or enjoy All-Star Weekend or enjoy a week in Hawaii, you're absolutely wrong. There is a strategic plan for your destruction, to hunt you, to capture you, to keep you captive. But thank God, there is also a strategic plan to deliver you, and that's being in his fortress. When God becomes your fortress, David stayed in this place, knowing that the enemy is roaming around, knowing that the enemy is going around trying to capture him. David stayed in the fortress. There is no leaving. If it's raining outside right now and you leave, you're going to get wet. If it's raining outside and you leave, you're going to get wet. It's guaranteed you're going to get wet. There is no leaving God and not get harmed. There is no leaving God, the dwelling place, and not getting injured and getting captured or getting hunted by the enemy. There is no way. So David knew where to stay. He knew where the safe place is. He knew that if he stays in God, if he stays with God, this is his fortress. The enemy can roam around as much as he wants. The enemy can say whatever he wants. The enemy can do whatever he wants outside. But as long as we have our fortress, as long as we're calling God our fortress, we're safe. Amen? In the New Testament, in Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." So the word of God is giving us a strategy of how to fight, of how to be protected, and how to wear Christ. The word of God is never cheap on giving us ways to fight and how to stay safe. But the problem is, we don't want to do the work. The problem is we're not seeing the danger as we imagine what the danger looks like. We think the danger is going to be, you know, I don't know, whatever it is in your head, the danger is. But the enemy is always roaming around. God, God can be our fortress and against the enemy that's coming against us. There is protection that God offers us, protections from accusation. If you read Romans 8:33, who will bring any charges against those who God have chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. God protects us from the accusation. God protects us from the condemnation. And God protects us from the intimidation of the enemy. He becomes our fortress to protect us from all of that. This is someone who lived these scenarios. This is someone who went to these battles. This is someone who is not just putting a couple of words together, asking ChatGPT to write a song. This is someone that lived it and witnessing at what God did in his life. The word of God should be your fortress. So when you're being attacked, you can say what? It is written. When you're being tempted, you can say what? It is written. When the enemy comes with thoughts and doubts and all of that, you can go back and use it as your fortress. Then he calls him my deliverer. This is really great because this emphasizes and the word in Hebrew right now, an active rescuer. Active rescuer. The word is mephalti, okay? And that is to escape, slip away, and to rescue. This is the Hebrew word for it. So he is calling God his rescuer. When he is in that middle of the circle of pain, the circle of beat down, he is calling God his rescuer. This implies that there is someone always by your side helping you to escape danger. Isn't that good news for you? Because I know for myself and I know for you by the look at your face right now, you need someone like that. I know that you need a deliverer. I know you need your own secret service, even though they fail most of the time. But I know you need that protection. I know, and the angels are great, and we're thankful, and God puts angels in charge of us, but it needs someone who's much, much more skilled than an angel, and that's what God is to David. He becomes his deliverer, someone who is much stronger than enemy that comes against you. Someone who is more knowledgeable, someone that can come the last second while you're drowning and just takes your hand up and saves your life. I can tell you this from many, many, many situations where I knew that this happened because at the last second, God himself took that thing from me. God himself was the one that rescued me. God himself was the one that saved me from this situation. Saul was chasing David one time. You can read this story in 1 Samuel 23. He was chasing him to capture him, and we know why, to kill him. And he was coming from one direction. David didn't know that he was coming from another direction. And they were about to meet, and he was about, do you see my pain now? He was about to meet, and he was about to get a hold of him because he didn't know that they were coming from that direction. And then someone, a messenger comes out of nowhere. You can, again, read the story in 1 Samuel 23. Someone comes from somewhere and goes, King Saul, come home quickly. The Philistines are attacking our land. You know, I'm sure you've seen it in movies before when someone is hiding in fear and there's like a burglar or an intruder or someone like that. And they're about to get to that closet that someone is hiding in and they're about to open it and someone calls. I know if you watched any action movie, it's full of that scenario, you know, and they're about to open the closet door or look under the bed or something, and someone tells them, you know, let's move on, and they move on, and the person lives. It's in every action movie. You've watched it, I've watched it. This actually happened to David himself, that at the last second, that King Saul, with all of his armies, are about to face David face to face, and there is no way to hide. There is no place to hide. So when he's singing, when he is saying that I was so close to be captured, when I was so close to be killed, and someone that was by my side delivered me and rescued me, when he's speaking about God, this actually happened in his life. Look at your life for a decision go back to your life and ask yourself, remember that decision you were going to make? Remember that person that you wanted to date? Remember that person that you were going to go into business with? Remember that, you know, trip you were going to take, whatever? I remember many stories that I can share with you on another day where I almost made a decision that could have ruined my life forever. And something the last, not something, someone the last second intervened and things went differently. So he calls him my deliverer. And if you want someone to deliver you from that circle of pain, from that circle of beat down, he is available for you and available for me today. He's available that you and I would not spend one more time doubting if someone is going to get our back, if someone can actually save us from what we're going through right now. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. What does that mean? That means that the kingdom of darkness, with its all power and strength, has no control over us anymore, has no authority over us anymore. And 2 Timothy, the Lord, 4:18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. Paul is saying these words with so much confidence, knowing the Lord is his deliverer. David was delivered from Saul and other nations. You and I today can be delivered from sin's dominion. We can be delivered from Satan's authority, and we can be delivered forever from eternal death. Spiritual warfare isn't just defense. It includes active rescuer or active rescuing. And that's what God is to us. God doesn't sleep. God doesn't take a vacation, doesn't take a break and say, in this new season, you're on your own. I just need to take a break. No. Every second of every day, every moment of every day, he is my deliverer. Amen? We're almost there, I promise. You know, and I told this to Pastor Al, and I truly mean it. This is just opening your appetite. This is very much like appetizers. Go home and read these verses again and start writing down, how is God your refuge? How is God your strength? How is God your deliverer? And start writing things down. And just Google it, you know, and you will find verses over verses. You can study it and start taking that personal, so you and I can never, ever be in that circle again without our full suit of weapons. My refuge, this word here, it emphasizes on, I am choosing, it's a chosen and intentional trust. Chosen and intentional trust. And the word in Hebrew, forgive me, I'm going to kill it. Ahisabo, something like that. I'm sure I'm, you know. But it means I take refuge in him. The root of that word is shelter, trust, and protection. So he calls God that this is whom I choose. I am intentionally going to him, not any other option. Because in life, when we want to be saved, when we want to take refuge, we have many options, right? The enemy is not short of providing options for us. If you're having war or battle with thoughts, some people go into drinking, some people go into smoking, some people go into, you know, pills or go into so many different things. But right here, David is saying that my intention, my choice is to go after him, because I do see that there are so many options in this world. You know, if you watch, again, I like movies. If you watch movies and you have like refugee camps, usually people go ask, where is the United States refugee camp? If I am leaving Egypt, okay, because of persecution, I am not going to take refuge in Egypt again. Because that defeats the point, right? If I am leaving Egypt, I'm not going to go into another country that has the same kind of persecution. I want to go to a country that actually can protect me, that country that can help me with freedom and all of that stuff. So David, in this word, refuge, as it is in Hebrew, it means that I am choosing you. You are the one that I am putting my full trust in. I see all the options that are around, and you're the one that I choose. You know, a lot of times, do you know why we are beat down and we're not out of that circle because we're used to choosing different options. If someone is attacking me, I want to attack back because that's an option. If someone is being mean to me, I want to repay evil with evil because that's an option. I want to depend on my own strength. I want to depend on my own wisdom. I want to depend on my own understanding. All of these are options, but David here is saying, no, I am choosing, intentionally choosing to put my trust in him, not on anything else. I'm not finding ways to be delivered. I'm not finding ways to fight back. I'm going to let him choose which way. This is a relational trust that you choose when you're in the middle of battle. You know, do you know that David had the chance to kill Saul? When David was hiding in one of the caves one time, Saul came in to use the bathroom, and it was Saul by himself, all by himself. And David, it was David and all of his men. And David came from behind him, was able to cut off a piece of his cloth. Like if he wanted to kill him at that, and all of his friends were telling him what? Kill him, kill him. Because that's a choice. That's a choice. But David chose to do what? I'm going to wait for the Lord. I'm going to wait for the Lord. I'm going to put my trust in him. I am not going to take matters into my own hands. I'm not going to be my own deliverer. I'm not going to be my own rescuer. I'm going to choose him to deliver me. Living among all these nations, David had a choice many times to deliver himself. And every time he did, he failed. And it was a miserable fail. But when he chose God to be his refuge, everything changed. In John 16:33, it says, I have told you these things so that in me, when we choose him, in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is telling us those words as well. He is telling us, choose me. Choose me as your refuge. Then he calls God his shield. He calls him my shield. And the shield, the word shield in Hebrew means meganini. Okay? And the root is ganan, which means to cover and defend. To cover and defend. Do you ever feel like you're not covered? There's not someone to defend you. There's not someone to cover your accident, someone to cover your pain, someone to defend you when you feel like everything around you is unjust, when you feel like you're going through it and there is not one person that can offer defense to you. Someone can come to your defense and say, I got you. Someone that can cover you from the pain, the accusations, the lies, all the intimidation, everything that the enemy is throwing your way. This is what God is to David. So when he's going into a battle, the shield is usually the closest part to your body. And you're holding that shield. So when the arrows are coming, when the swords are swinging, when the spears are throwing at you, the shield can defend you. So David is going into a battle knowing and trusting that he has a personal shield stuck to his body that's going to able to withstand, is that the word? Take the beating, because he did it and we know that he did it. You know, take the pain and defend him and protecting him from every pain that can come against him. God is here pictured as actively standing between David and any harm that can come against him. We're not saying that harm is not going to come. Harm is going to come. But God is standing in between you and harm. God is standing between you and the enemy's plan to end your life. That time, again, that was very close and you were delivered. You had a shield. You just didn't know it. I had a shield. I just didn't know it. He had so many people coming against them. One time, David just finished a battle against the Philistines. And then after he finished the battle and defeated the Philistines, he goes to Saul's house to do his nighttime job, which is to play music for King Saul. While he's, again, long day. Can you imagine going into battle for days and days and days? And then after you're done and you just won, instead of going home, taking a shower, you know, enjoying a glass of cold water or something, you know, and you're just standing there like, nope, time to go to your second job. What's my second job? Go play some music for the crazy king, because that's the only way he calms down, right? And he's standing there playing music. I can't imagine how exhausted he was after war and battles. And then while he's just standing there playing music, the king grabs his spear and throws the spear at him and then missed it by inches. What happened there? God was his shield. God was there to protect him. You know, I'm telling you stories about David, but as I'm telling you stories, I'm really trying to hold myself from back from telling you my stories. Okay? And I know while I am saying these things, you're telling your own stories to yourself. Because you have stories when it came very close. You have stories when things did not make sense how you survived this. Whether it's a season of life, whether it's an incident, whatever it is, you survived and you're here today because you had a shield. And David had that shield. So when he's talking about God being his shield, he's thinking of the wars, he's thinking of all the spears, he's thinking even of Saul's spear, he's thinking of all the arrows, he's thinking of all these things that could have killed him, but it didn't. Why is that? Because he had a personal shield stuck to him. In a hand-to-hand combat, the shield is the closest and most personal tool that you're using for your protection. And you and I, believe it or not, are going to a hand-to-hand combat every single day of our lives. And if you think you're not, that means you're laying down, getting the beaten. Because we're always fighting. We're always fighting. Because the enemy does not take a break, and we do not take a break either. In Ephesians 6:16, and I'm almost done, I promise. In Ephesians 6:16, it tells us to take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The shield of faith, the faith in God, the faith in Jesus, the faith in the Holy Spirit. The shield blocks the accusations, the lies, the temptations, the fearful thoughts. The shield blocks and blocks and blocks, so no harm can come against you. And that's what David chose to block all this for him. Then he calls him the horn of my salvation. The Hebrew words is Kirin Yeshi. And as you can see, and as I promised you, every word is different. Every word is different. These are not the same words. To you and me might sound that, but it's not. And this emphasizes on powerful victory. This is not what God has given him, is not just to get by. It's not just someone to help him out of the situation. No. God helped him rise and punch back and give him a powerful and convincing victory. So he's going from a place, we're going from a place getting the beat down of our lives to getting up like giants and having a powerful victory that leaves no doubt in my mind, in my heart, in no one's mind or heart. The powerful strength that brings my salvation and victory comes from the Lord himself. It implies that our victory is not just any victory. It's not just a mere victory. It's not just a get-by victory. It's not winning by 1 or 2 points. It is handling the enemy, handling your business, and making sure that everyone knows that God gave victory that day. He calls him the horn of my salvation. So defeating David's victory, establishing his kingdom, and then the most ultimate victory is that the Savior would come from his descendants. He would come from his line. That Jesus came out of that man's family tree. That's the ultimate victory. So when he's calling him the horn of my salvation, he's looking back at every time, not only that he got by, but these amazing victories. And I want you to imagine those victories because they're coming your way. In Jesus' name, they're coming your way. Because we're not fighting for those victories, we're fighting from those victories. The victory has been already given. Because it's been given on the cross. Because Jesus already defeated death. Jesus already defeated the enemy. Jesus defeated the world. So you and I can take that victory and enjoy it and apply it to ourselves. God didn't just save David from danger. God exalted David with power and victories. And the same thing can happen to you and to me today. When Zechariah was faced with the Virgin Mary, he was praising God, and he said, "He has raised to us a horn. He has raised a horn of salvation to us," meaning, we won this. It's already done. In Romans 8:37, it says that we are more than conqueror through Him who loves us. Who is He that loves us? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Finally, so you guys can go home. He calls Him my stronghold one more time. And when He was calling Him, and this word in Hebrew is Misagavi, and it comes from high and exalted refuge that is also very, very personal. Because David got to a place now of, back in the days, no one knew about David. Goliath, they didn't know about David, right? This is the difference between this and the previous ones. The enemy didn't know about David. But guess what, Dalia? The enemy knows about you now. You know that the enemy knows about you? All of you? He might have underestimated you before, but now he knows you. When David came face to face to Goliath, Goliath was like, "Who is this? Who is this kid? Like, who are you kidding? This is not, I'm not fighting this." But now the enemy knows. Now David killed Goliath. Now David is a king. And the enemy in every single battle is coming after him specifically. There's a story about David himself in 2 Samuel 21. David actually faced another giant. It's a story we don't know a lot about. He faced another giant in 2 Samuel 21, and he almost lost his life to that other giant. That giant comes from the descendants of Goliath. He almost lost his life, but one of his friends, Abishai, the son of Zerah, came to David's rescue. David was tired, was older, was exhausted. He is worn out. And he almost lost to this other giant, but someone came in his support. And this is when God is using your brothers and sisters. This is when God is using those around you to come for your rescue and defense. This is when the body of Christ comes to you as your stronghold, as your defenders. This is when one of the friends that you've had for a long time can come give you a word of truth. This is when someone can come and give you a message of encouragement. This is when someone can come and tell you that, you know what, we got this together. We're in this war. We're in this fight together. This is when you have a body of stronghold that we create together as the church. This is when we're part of a body as a church, helping one another, defending one another, going to war with one another. This is when Jesus tells you, abide in me. Abide in me, all of us. Because if you're a branch and you think you can go bear fruit when you're cut off, you're wrong. You have to be in that tree. You have to be, and that's what it means here. This is an elevated, high level of safety through abiding in Christ and abiding in the body of Christ. This is that last one, my stronghold. So when you have all these promises, when you have all these weapons, when you have the empowerment, when you have the security, when you have the stability, when you have the strategic protection, when you have the active rescuer, when you have the place that you choose to trust, when you have the personal defense, you have the powerful victory, and a high level of safety. Tell me what armies can stand against you. I know we were jumped by gangsters before many times. I know we were got the beat down of our lives many times. And there is not shortage of enemies around us. But there is time right now. I don't have to wait until the end of my life to sing this song. You and I can sing this song today. Today. Because guess what? Is God still alive or is He gone? he's still alive. And if he's still around, then I can call him my strength. I can call him my rock. I can call him my fortress. I can call him my deliverer. I can call him my rock. I can call him my refuge. I can call him my shield. I can call him the horn of my salvation. I can call him my stronghold. If you take that, believe in it, and make him your all of these things, there is no circle of beat down again in your life. The war is going to come. The fight is going to come. But victory is guaranteed. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Just take a moment and promise yourself one thing today. You're going to go home and read the whole chapter, and you're going to meditate on this today. I just opened your appetite. I just gave you a little appetizers today. That's all I did. Not even. And I know that I touched on some nerves it touched on some nerves for me. I know I touched on some pain points for you. I know you've been there. You've been in that circle of pain. You've been in that circle of beat down when you're getting kicked from every direction. And as I said, the enemy is not short of attacks. The enemy is not short of attackers. And we're not fighting against Saul today. We're not fighting against our brothers and sisters, even those who are attacking us. We're not fighting against them. But we're fighting against the evil spirit that's overtaking them, that want to hunt us, destroy us, kill us, stop us from our destination, stop us from our God's plans for us. But we can sing today. Let's start singing right now. Let's start singing of God right now. The same strength that Moses had to deliver a whole nation from the strongest nation at the time, the same strength that he had when he split the sea, the same strength that Gideon had, Joshua had, the same strength that David had, the same strength that we all had in all of these experiences and testimonies we have, still present today and can be yours. But start singing it now. Before the battle, during the battle, and after the battle is won. I do not need to wait. You do not need to wait for something to be changed to start singing and start praising. You can start praising right now because you have an active rescuer. You have a personal rescuer going with you everywhere you go, every minute of the day, every moment of the day. You have a refuge that has not been defeated. You have a rock that is solid, that you can stand on today. All the promises of God are rock solid. They have not changed. And when you hide in him, no one was able to break in. No one was able to break in. Who can snatch us out of his hand? Just keep thinking about these words. Make them yours. David sang because he made every single one of those, all these adjectives of God, made them his. He is my strength. He is my stronghold. Make these yours today. Repeat these words to yourself right now. Say that God is my stronghold. God is my refuge. God is my fortress. God is my rescuer. God is my strength. God is my horn of salvation. The victory has already been given. Make these yours right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Who can give all of these promises? Who can make all these promises? Who can keep all these promises? Only you, Lord. Lord, forgive us for choosing other options. Forgive us for staying down and not wanting to rise and fight. Forgive us, Lord, for finding it normal to receive that beat down, thinking that we have no strength. Forgive us for not believing. Forgive us for not believing in your strength, that you can deliver us. Forgive us, Lord. But today I pray for myself and for my brothers and sisters that no one, and absolutely no one, would leave this room thinking that they're going to be in the middle of that circle of beat down again. in Jesus' name, Lord, that we would wear, that we will put on the armor of God today. Every single one of us today will wear Christ. Lord, we need you. Enough pain, enough defeat, enough time wasted. We need you today, Lord Jesus. We need you to open our eyes, Lord, that we don't have to stay down anymore. In Jesus' name, Lord, I'm just using words, but the power of the Holy Spirit can open our eyes today. That we don't have to stay down, taking the pain, taking the punches, but we can get up. We can arise with your strength. With your strength, we can defeat that.